This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents Your Creative Career. Turn your passion into a fulfilling and financially rewarding lifestyle. By Anna Sabino. Performed by Terry Schnaubelt. For all of you who don't know it yet, you got this. Introduction. Don't save this book. Don't worry about keeping the pages pristine. This book is your notebook, journal of thoughts, and helpful tool that will bring you closer to answer the "What should I do with my life?" question. You may be at a different stage of the "What should I do with my life?" discovery. Maybe you already know. But you just need to make the path clearer. Maybe you don't like where you are, but don't know what you'd like the change to be. I'm hoping to provide you with inspiration. You'll find thought-provoking questions here. Treat each one like a dot. These dots, in addition to your observations and reflections, will one day make up a picture, your dream lifestyle picture. Many people will try to design your lifestyle picture with you, hand you the puzzle pieces, tell you where they should go. Some may even say, "You'll never complete this picture. It's 1,000 puzzle pieces. Do you know how long it would take you to finish?" These are the voices you may hear throughout your journey. Maybe you've determined that you're not ready to call yourself a writer, an actor, or a business owner because you know you don't deserve it, and because there are others out there better than you. You add aspiring in front of your dream profession and start wearing this badge because you are not ready to shed your insecurity. You may be losing to those who, regardless of their skills and experience, decided to already wear the badge of what they want to become. They live their dreams. This is what lifestyle design is all about. Trying a dream like a pair of jeans. Because who knows if the dream is really our dream without trying it and living it. Maybe we're dreaming the wrong dream and wasting our time and efforts pursuing the wrong path. Those who try living their dream have time to pivot, change direction, and refocus on what really fulfills them. They carefully design their lives regardless of social pressures and other constraints. There is no thinking outside the box for them. They don't have any boxes, period. They set their own rules, experiment, and end up truly living their dream. They don't think about the long discovery process. They enjoy the steps because they know they're on the path to greatness. They don't care how the world defines adequacy. They are aware of what their dream is, and they're building it by living it now, regardless if they feel ready. They manifest and wobble on their dream path, asking for guidance. One day, when they can finally stand on their own, everyone thinks that they woke up like that. Others, who are still in their aspiring stage, blame the economy or lack of innate talent, finally deciding that their dream is not actually their dream. This gives them peace of mind, and they come to terms with passively coasting in their status quo, living by default. Their current situation is certain, and they don't need to go through the temporary discomfort of trying something new. They change their focus to enjoying their life outside work and count the years until retirement. They realize that there are those whose lives are way worse than theirs, and thinking about that makes them come to terms with what they have, no matter the level of dissatisfaction. To embrace a confident attitude, we need to stop using excuses. Economic conditions are always going to be challenging, yet there are millions who thrive no matter what. It's widely proven that grit and consistency is far more important than talent. We don't need to be born with anything. We can become, we can be. It's a matter of announcing it to the world and ourselves. Who are you now? Can you replace your badge that you've always been wearing with the one that you dream about? Yes, you can. There's no dream police checking on how much you've been living your dream. You can start living it now. The world will embrace you and look up to you for inspiration. Don't be afraid to wear your too large wings. Your courage will make them fit in no time. I bet they may be fitting now. Just try. My creative hustle. I've had the hustle mentality since I arrived in New York City at the age of 20. That's when I put on my highest high-heel shoes and started strolling up and down Fifth Avenue looking for a job. I'm not sure why I thought that all the New York jobs were on Fifth Avenue, but it did take me a while to figure out that I needed to take the heels off, get off Fifth Avenue, and head downtown. As soon as I took on this strategy, my cocktail waitressing career commenced. After years at school, working different jobs and starting various side hustles, I made a decision to start my own creative career, and I'm happy to say that I'm now in the 14th year of running Lucid New York, my jewelry business. It's been crucial to me to grow Lucid New York deeper instead of broader and pursue other creative passions at the same time. My entrepreneurial path has been far from easy. For a while, I was building the brand while working full-time as a market analyst on Wall Street. My day job got in the way when I received a glass-blowing scholarship, which included free classes for 5 hours every Monday. I took a chance and assertively let my boss know that I wouldn't be able to come to work on Mondays. He was stunned because, as he explained, the market was open on Mondays. But in the end, he reluctantly agreed. The circumstances made me realize that I needed my independence no matter what the cost. At first, I was creating glass jewelry, and my production was taking place in my 10x10 room on the Lower East Side. My roommate didn't talk to me for a year. He was scared I was going to blow up the place. After a while, I moved my operation to Urban Glass Studio in Brooklyn. Before I quit my position on Wall Street, I wanted to make sure I was able to support myself running the jewelry business. I focused on testing if my customers liked the pieces enough to buy them. My first customer was my friend Kelly. I know what you may think. Selling to a friend should not be an indicator of a business success. Kelly, however, bought 10 jewelry pieces at full price. Besides Kelly, there was a waitress at the restaurant on Union Square who saw the glass jewelry collection when we were doing the transaction at our table. Then a couple from Australia noticed my colorful pieces and followed suit, buying 2 necklaces for themselves and 1 as a gift. I knew I wasn't supposed to sell anything at a restaurant, but also I knew I had to follow an entrepreneurial rule of asking for forgiveness instead of for permission. I continued getting out of my comfort zone and testing my collections incessantly. I sold a piece to a post office clerk and a few in the conference room of a large New York-based magazine where my friend invited me. When I kept getting a firm yes backed up by payments for my pieces, I felt I was ready to quit Wall Street and invest all my energy and effort into Lucid New York. I run my jewelry business with customers in mind, so when I noticed they started losing interest in glass pieces, I transitioned into working with metals and started making dainty pieces, which were in line with the jewelry layering trend, stacking bracelets and wearing multiple necklaces and rings. During more than a decade of running a business, I sold at girls' night out retail events, sold wholesale at trade shows in New York, San Francisco, and Paris, and ended up having my collection sold in over 100 stores in the United States and abroad. I started Lucid Box, a jewelry subscription box, and ran it successfully for 3 years, partnered with discount sites like Groupon and Ideally, and opened pop-up retail locations. I also unsuccessfully extended my brand, introducing a handbag collection and made numerous other costly mistakes, which I'll talk about throughout the book. I can't say that I have done it all, but as far as entrepreneurship and product business is concerned, I've done a lot and I'm eager to lay it all out for you so that you can get inspired in your own creative career. I wrote this book hoping to save you time. There's no reason why you should make the mistakes I made to succeed in your creative career. I want you to do better, faster, and at a lower cost. I want you to get inspired and succeed on your own terms, choosing the most fitting entrepreneurial path for you. With love and gratitude, Anna Sabino. 1. Designing your creative career.
I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I think I have ended up where I needed to be.
Douglas Adams, The Long Dark Tea Time of the Soul. I'm amazed when I realize what's available to us. Taking filmmaking as an example, we used to need intimidating infrastructure. Filmmaking tools and resources were not available to the majority of us. We now have it all. We have access to high-quality gear and online education to create whatever film we dream of. People are open and able to share, teach, and collaborate easily. We now have most tools in our pockets, allowing us to document things on a whim and share fast. The world is open and transparent. We get invited behind the scenes to participate in the creation process of others. We are empowered customers, but also creators pressed to share our secrets. It's possible to create solo, but close to impossible to make it alone. Yet, in this abundant world, there are still things that can crush our creativity if we let them. If we keep glorifying dissatisfaction and the feeling of not enough, we can keep dragging our personal heavy lead ball, preventing us from walking the creativity path. Let's get inspired by this limitless world of abundance available to us, pick up our tools, and get creative. Living life by design. We often choose the default option just because we didn't have to choose it. It is just there. Our computer screensaver is the picture of the mountains, the one that it came with. We are not really into the mountains, but choose to look at them every day when we open our laptops because we can't be bothered changing the default image. We listen to songs on autoplay, buy books based on a computer recommendation saying, you may also like. We end up going somewhere because we were invited, take something because we were offered it. We choose options based on their ease. Everything is prepared for us, so we say yes and proudly admit that we go with the flow. It takes courage to live the life you want, especially because we are surrounded by those who settled. We need to have the drive within, and instead of being inspired by others, we have to be inspired by our dreams. There are those who will keep dreaming and others who will start living their dreams. Those who aspire to live by design will dream, plan, and execute. And those living by default settle for temporary comfort and keep dreaming their dreams without a plan to live them. They defer taking action and choose to settle for the safety of their paychecks. They start believing that a job is not supposed to be interesting or fulfilling, that it's a job. They work to live and wait for retirement when they'll be able to live the life they want. You know what life path you want to follow. Don't let anyone derail you. Continue designing life on your own terms and living your unconventional life. Don't try to calculate the length of the process. You may not be able to determine when you'll start living your dream life. You may be getting ready for building it, and there will be a day when you wake up and will know that you have stepped into your greatness. Everything's amazing and nobody's happy. Louis C.K. on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. How do you measure your life? Society conditions us to think that success is to be measured with money, accumulating the latest toys, splurging on extravagant vacations, and buying big houses may seem like the recipe for fulfillment, but all these possessions may only feed our dissatisfaction by making us want bigger and better. We don't know the taste of enough, and being in a constant hustle for more makes us unable to enjoy what we have. There will always be those who started earlier, who are more successful, and who have more. We notice them, and even if we look away, trying to mind our business, there is social media, which makes sure we see it all amplified. It's important to realize that there are many ways to measure your life. Purpose, profit, fame, money, fun, and time are just a few of them. Once you give yourself permission to measure your life according to what's important to you, you will start designing your life on your own terms. Taking a step back mindfully is crucial, as you may get too busy and forget what's important in measuring your life. A company you work for may try to convince you that life should be measured with money. They could be motivating you with higher raises and asking you to devote more time and energy to work. Having money as a sole work motivator may work for some time, but one day you may get an internal wake-up call and realize that time is the way you want to measure your life. You'll start considering quitting your job and starting a business to be in charge of your time. There are those who work at the job they hate for years because they're incentivized by money. As a result of their great paychecks and high raises, they adjust their lifestyles. They buy larger houses with larger mortgages and choose private schools for their children. They have to continue working at their high-paying jobs to sustain these lifestyles. Having gotten used to a certain way of living, they're not able to scale back, so they continue working and complaining about how unhappy they are. And yet, the golden handcuffs they chose to put on themselves are too shiny to give up. "The nail that sticks out gets hammered down," says a common Japanese expression, referring to how tough it is to live a non-conformist life. Social pressures of imposing what's normal is so strong that it condemns any behavior that's out of the ordinary. Living life by design is not for everyone. Only those who are the most resilient and determined will make it happen. Freedom, the new measure of being rich. Are you experiencing true freedom? Are you doing it with or without the money? Does money give freedom? The old answer was yes, because we didn't know what was possible. Being rich and leading a celebrity-like lifestyle still gets a lot of social admiration. But all that glamour fades if being rich equals to working nonstop or not being able to travel. What's prestigious, what gets attention and all the looks now, is true freedom. If amassing a fortune is the way to freedom, we want the fortune. However, if fortune makes us prisoners of our lives, there'll be a day when we'll break off the golden handcuffs to experience true freedom, with or without the money. $1 million in the bank isn't the fantasy. The fantasy is the complete freedom it supposedly allows. Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek. We mistakenly define freedom as all the product options and choices available to us. We are content with freedom of choosing the size of a TV to buy and making a choice of a restaurant we want to go to for dinner. When have we lowered our standards so much? Because of the transparency of our lives, which social media facilitates, we witness and get inspired by others who started designing their lives on their own terms. They take sabbaticals, extend their business trips, adding on some extra days to surf, experience the country, and socialize. They take midweek days off and work throughout the weekends. They get a taste of freedom because they are designing the life on their own terms. Even if our close friends are conformists and live the life by default, we can follow, reach out, and ask advice of complete strangers whose lives we admire. Only we know what freedom means to us, and we shouldn't let anyone else influence our definition. We are all at different stages of our lives, prioritizing different things. Do you want to be done with work at 3 p.m. to pick up your children from school? Are you a morning person or a night owl? When you own a business, you can run it according to your circadian rhythm, family needs, aspirations, and dreams. However, freedom in your career doesn't mean that you will stop hustling. You still will be. Probably your hustle will be even more intense, but it'll be on your own terms. Those who understand that living and working on your own terms is about writing your own script, not about finding the way to work less, will succeed. What should you do with your life? When you type, "What should I?" into Google, the phrase, "What should I do with my life?" is one of the top results. It may be hard to answer such a broad and overwhelming question. Just like with everything so vast and mind-boggling, I recommend breaking it into smaller, more edible pieces. The well-known question, "How do you eat an elephant?" and its answer, "One bite at a time," couldn't illustrate it better. Robert Moorer, in the book One Small Step Can Change Your Life, recommends tackling big questions by asking small, less intimidating questions first. We'll look closer into making changes the Kaizen way in Chapter 9, but applying this principle here, try breaking the crushing question of, "What should I do with my life?" into smaller questions, which will sound less scary and hopefully bring you closer to the main answer. Try answering questions about what work would excite and fulfill you, contributions you could make to the world, or the activities you love doing. Do these activities involve contact with people, or are you more of a person who enjoys working and getting things done solo, or with one or two people maximum? Getting to know yourself will bring you closer to knowing what your dream lifestyle should be. In cafes and in the streets, I always hear people complaining about their jobs. Once in a while, however, I meet a person who loves what they do. I'm sure it happens to you as well. When you meet people who are satisfied with their careers, ask them about one aspect of their jobs that makes them happy. Keep asking this question of everyone who you meet and who loves what they do, whether they're employed or own a business. Collect these answers, write them down, and determine if the answers relate to you. Don't feel anxious if you are not clear about what you would like to do with your life. This discovery is a process, and there may be multiple paths you'll need to take to achieve clarity. Your seemingly futile efforts will give you answers. Just don't wait for them. Keep going through your discovery process. Stretching your walls. We're all designers, lifestyle designers. Stop giving yourself and others excuses for your boundaries. There are no boundaries. Stop blaming and look within. All is possible. You just have to figure out what path to take. You'll always have boxes and walls around you, but imagine they're rubber. Stretch them. You can do it. If you've never stretched your walls and lived to your own potential, take the time you need to adjust at your own pace. It may take a while for your walls to become malleable, to stretch and feel natural, but take the steps now. The earlier you begin the transformation, the better. Design your lifestyle, but leave lots of room. Don't base your design on details and goals. Be open to opportunities and things that will happen because you'll be enjoying the process. Designing your life is a reverse process of traditional designing. You usually create something from the beginning to the end, look at the finished product, and are proud of it. But here, you know the final product. You're working on finding the pieces of the puzzle to make the complete picture. Ask yourself what's important to you, yourself. Start living by it now. There are so many unwritten books and screenplays, so many undiscovered voices, so much unfulfilled potential. You don't want to join the crowd. Start living by your own rules, maximizing your potential. Feel excited about life. Don't be overcome by the routine and watch the adventures pass you by. The excuses and boundaries, treat them all as stretchable walls ready to be molded by you. These are your walls. Walls with lots of potential, so start shaping them now. Success redefined. Your own definition of success may surprise you. Revisiting the reasons behind starting our business, we realize that they changed since our initial declaration because our ego and our self-centered ambition got in the way. We now want success and everything that comes with it. Simon Sinek, in his book Start With Why, compares success and achievement, stating that they are not the same thing, though often they're mistaken for one another. Achievement is something you reach or attain like a goal, says Sinek. Achievement is measurable. We achieve, we get certified, move up one level, get promoted. It takes a certain type of a personality to enjoy our achievements. Most of us treat achievements like stepping stones to other achievements, and this race is endless. We dream of buying a boat and agree that this would be an achievement for us. As soon as we arrive into the marina, we see other better boats, and they now become what we aspire to achieve. But at least, no matter how long our satisfaction lasts, achievement can be measured. Success, in contrast, is a feeling or a state of being, writes Sinek. It's usually difficult for anyone to admit that they are successful. We feel unfulfilled because we are on a constant search for our why. Once we find the reason behind our efforts, we may start feeling content and satisfied. Success has a different meaning for everyone. If we let society dictate how we should live our lives, our success will be defined in materialistic and financial terms. We'll be putting in more time hustling toward our ever-changing goals without realizing that what's really precious is about to pass us by. You've probably heard stories of people who decided to sell it all, free themselves from the financial burden, and live a minimalistic life. They have probably got a wake-up call during their race for fortune that this was not the contest they wanted to participate in. Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus, authors of Minimalism, Live a Meaningful Life, who were featured in the documentary Minimalism, a documentary about the important things, popularized the trend of striving for less. The living with less trend has spread widely, making the tiny house lifestyle a fad. It encourages cutting down, reorganizing, and getting multifunctional tools. Living with less and living smarter has begun to replace our former aspiration of abundance. Reusing, refurbishing, and vintage became words symbolizing status and mindful living. After the iconic book, The 4-Hour Workweek, was published, lifestyle design terms emerged, and we started noticing that success definition is personal. It was time to redefine it based on what's important to us. Status quo was not enough anymore, and neither was living life by default. This empowerment made many of us jump ship and make drastic changes. Those who read the book early enough started creating life on their own terms right after graduation. It's as if we all got permission to release social pressure and define success on our own terms, realizing that no one else needs to understand our journey but us. Tasting your dream. By taking a bite out of your dream and trying out your dream lifestyle, you'll be able to determine if the dream lifestyle and career you have envisioned for yourself are for you. If you don't do it, you will keep wasting your efforts and pursuing the path leading you to disappointment. The sooner you find out that the dream you thought is your dream is not what you wanted, the better, because you'll be able to refocus and start working towards something you truly desire. The only way to know if your dream is really your dream is to take a taste of it and try living it. As an example, it's common to dream of buying a sailboat and sailing around the world. I'm not the one to talk any sailor dreamer out of this dream, but it would be safe to suggest that doing some ocean sailing will allow them to see if this sail around the world idea is really their dream. Besides sailing in calm waters with the winds filling up the sails and enjoying a cold beverage, there's also sailing in rough seas, which is unavoidable and is not for everyone. You must be okay with staying wet for a few days in a row. You will be exhausted from night watches. The 24-hour sailing day is usually divided into shifts of 3 or 4 hours, as there has to be someone up and alert at all times. The boat will need repairs, and unforeseen trouble will arise. It would be best if you discovered the joys and sorrows of sailing around the world early to determine if this dream is really your dream. Our dreams are often shaped and conditioned by social pressure. We enviously look at other people's houses and aspire to one day get our own. That day comes, we get a house that is over-mortgaged, and maintaining it makes us work so much that we don't have the time to enjoy it. Not to mention owning a house doesn't give us the freedom of being location independent. Doing dream research and taking a taste of our dreams allows us to possibly pivot and start pursuing the right path. Connecting your dots. We have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in the future. Steve Jobs, Stanford Commencement Address, 2005. It can be tempting to evaluate the usefulness of every step we take toward designing our creative career. However, the discovery process is not a straight line. It's a labyrinth where we may be taking wrong turns and be on a path which doesn't serve us. We may be walking toward the unknown, waiting for the results, the payoff for our efforts. There will be many who may not be able to bear the discomfort of working for free without knowing if they will be rewarded. Those who succeed focus on amassing experience, developing skills, and getting inspired anywhere they can. They attend the events without seeing the immediate reason, take courses, and learn new things, believing in the value of knowledge. When the moment of clarity comes, it's not through force, it's thanks to persevering in the process. The classes, conferences, and meetings they have been attending have solidified into a plan. The dots have connected and formed a line. Depending on the circumstances, we may have to collect the dots in our spare time. Getting ready for our transition while being employed can be beneficial. We can approach the discovery process with more patience, thanks to the security our job offers. This can also be motivating. We'll be reminded daily that we need to change the status quo. Quitting our secure job to have more time for our transition may work for some, but others will find their day job very change-stimulating. There is no mold that fits everyone in the career design process. However, we all need to enjoy collecting the dots and trust the process. Three ways of living your dream lifestyle. So few of us take action or design a plan to one day be able to live the life on our own terms. We get caught in a race where we don't belong, serving others and contributing to fulfilling their dreams. Some of us won't settle and will start living our dream lifestyle no matter what it costs us. Others will try to live their dream alongside what they are supposed to do. And yet others postpone living their dream, never feeling ready. Let's look closer at the three ways of living a dream lifestyle to determine which one could inspire you. 1. Dream doers. They live on their own terms without wasting any time to figure out how they will make it happen. They give up security and comfort, accepting the discomfort of the unknown. They quit jobs that pay well, simply because this is not what they want to do. They are firm, persistent, and immune to social pressure of those who wish they were able to do the same. Dream doers don't care that they give up what others call opportunity of a lifetime. They don't mind quitting an attractive position, knowing that they will be immediately replaced by someone who will consider himself lucky. They feel they have no time to waste. They want their dream now, no matter the cost. They are usually not understood, and they may lose friends, break relationships, and distance themselves from those who don't show understanding and support. They are aware that they live unconventionally, and they know there's a price to pay for it. This lifestyle is not ideal, but it feels fulfilling. Those who live it consider themselves happy. They work as travel writers, bartenders, sailing instructors, dive shop owners and freelancers, crowding metropolitan coffee shops and treating them as their workplaces. They sometimes realize that having their dream job is more time-consuming than being employed, but they know that they made the decision to follow their dream path, not to work less, but to follow their passion. Their challenge is instability and income unpredictability. Their draw is doing what they love, making their own schedule, and doing something daily that doesn't feel like work. 2. Dream squeezers. They want it all. They want to live their dream, but they don't want to give up security. They haven't walked on the path of struggle in their life, and they're not willing to do it now. However, they do want to live their dream lifestyle. They're used to comfort, which they value more than anything. They want to keep their safe careers and never give up their comfortable lives, yet the jet-setting lifestyle dream is pulling them in another direction. They travel to Italy for a weekend, reserve expensive tables at the New York nightclubs, living large and fast. They work hard and play hard. They are admired for being carefree and for their nonchalance, which they have to switch off the next day at 7 a.m. or whenever they have to start their workday. They are drawn to security, comfort, and the luxurious lifestyle they have created. They usually feel like they don't have any other choice but hustle in their lucrative careers to sustain the extravagant lifestyle they have created. It's the only way to pay for their multiple cars, private schools, and house maintenance. They feel like they have gone too far reaching for abundance, and they must maintain what they had started. They squeeze their dream lifestyle into the little free time they have. They take short trips and experience luxury because they can. Their challenge is accepting how little time they have living their dream. They feel as if they were taking a dream in a pill, which has to last them until they can do it again. They long for their freedom and for living on their own terms. They keep evaluating if it's worth it. They consider quitting, but every year they're offered a raise and bonus, which are hard to refuse. They stay and keep living their dreams in a pill. Dream squeezers are often Wall Street employees working at senior-level positions, partners at law firms, and others who chose to wear the proverbial golden handcuffs. 3. Dream postponers. They want to live their dream lifestyle, but they don't feel ready to start living it. They need to prepare. They need a safety cushion. And once they get it, they determine they need a larger one. Whether it's financial security or social pressure warning against regrets of quitting too early, they decide to work fulfilling the dreams of others until the end, their retirement. Once they retire, they feel like they have accomplished what they had to, and living by design seems more secure and less scary now. However, these dream postponers may face an issue. They may realize the dream they used to have is not their dream anymore. Time has passed and has changed them. Their age calls for different priorities now. That old dream of sailing around the world doesn't seem like a good idea anymore. They'd rather stay in their hometown and watch their grandchildren grow. They nostalgically look back at the years spent working hard to one day start living their dream lifestyle. They feel that this day has come, but their excitement for that old dream is gone. They have evolved, and so have their dreams. Your turn. Reflect, discuss, journal. Based on the examples of lifestyles of dream doers, dream squeezers, and dream postponers, determine what's important to you in lifestyle design. Be specific. If it's money, decide what monthly income would be satisfactory. If it's time, determine how you'd like to spend it. Prompts: fame, money, time, security, flexibility of taking time off and making your own hours, doing what you love, learning, being challenged, starting something new. What are you willing to say no to? What parts of your current job do you love? What areas of your job should take a new direction? What could be your first step toward starting living your dream lifestyle? Creative career insight. Living life by default, instead of living by design, is not going with the flow. It's settling. Don't settle. Start designing your dream life. 2. Your humble beginnings. I have lots of ideas. How do I pick the right one? Execute on as many as possible. The right idea will pick you. James Altucher, The Choose Yourself Guide to Wealth. Your why, the reason you pursue a creative career, may be very hard to identify. For example, it's rare for us to admit that one of our career goals is to make money. Often we say that money is an important part of success, but we are not following a lucrative career path to match our goals. We choose professions and put our efforts into developing careers where the odds of becoming financially successful are lower than if we pursued other careers. Regardless, we still take these paths, which don't align with our goals. It's important to start thinking about your creative why. The reason you're starting a business may be emerging and evolving over time. When you realize that your path is not in line with your big picture, let yourself be inspired and change your career path. It's never too late to refocus and spend your energy to pursue your dream career. Don't look back and think of the former path as wasted time, but as an important element of self-discovery. That is why it's crucial to just start, as this initiates our transition process. Often there's something unspecified that pushes us ahead to follow the career path we have chosen. This energy is invigorating and can be compared to when we blindly fall in love or when we unconditionally love our child. This energy is our reason to be. This reason to be differs depending on the person. If we find ourselves pursuing the path influenced by others, we'll be following someone else's dream path. Our creative why is personal. If we let others influence it, we'll end up dissatisfied. No matter how costly, it may be necessary to make mistakes and let the discovery process take its natural course. You are creative. Through the years, we have been defining a creative person as someone with capabilities in painting, sculpture, or another domain that requires an innate talent. When we talk about creativity, we think of Monet, Van Gogh, or Picasso. Treating creativity as an exclusive trait, we claim that we are not creative. It would be too intimidating to admit otherwise. We're not like Picasso, therefore we are not creative. Why do we set the bar of being creative so high? Ken Robinson, in his hilarious TED Talk, Do Schools Kill Creativity?, defines creativity as a process of having original ideas that have value. Taking this broader approach to defining creativity, we can timidly admit that we are all creative. We come up with creative solutions, approach things in new ways, write proposals in a creative way, and lead creatively. Just in case you were in doubt, you are creative. I'm sure you realized that those who are the most successful are not the most talented. Making it as a creative entrepreneur involves a whole bouquet of skills. It's not just the talent to create. There is a large number of very gifted artists who create beautiful pieces, but they don't know what to do with them. They stubbornly block themselves from becoming informed about sales and marketing, assuming that they can just focus on creating and someone else will do it for them. Creative entrepreneurs who respond to customers' needs, making pieces based on what's in demand, win. These business owners create communities and have an audience zeroing in on providing value. They are smart, creative entrepreneurs, and the work they offer gets exposure. They take feedback from customers and improve their work accordingly. Artists, now more than any time, need marketing skills or need to be open to learning them. They need to run their businesses creatively. If you're not in the position of having an agent or a representative working for you, and most of us are not, you need to take on this multidimensional hustle to succeed in your creative career. Those who succeed do have street smarts, which is more important than being overly educated or talented. It seems that talent by itself is too one-dimensional to compete on a broad scale. Times when virtuosos, prodigies, and other masters were getting discovered are over. Genius must now have legs to get to places. You are enough. It's easy to believe that we are not enough. Thoughts about accomplishing too little are with us daily. By comparing ourselves to those who started earlier, are better, faster, richer, we strive to feel equal or superior. We carefully choose those who we pay attention to as if we craved this feeling of dissatisfaction and inadequacy. We follow, watch, and obsess about the idolized lives of others. We even create a special term. We are now living vicariously through other people's lives. This expression got normalized. We openly admit that we live through the lives of others instead of living on our own. That's why you start where you are, not where you wish you were, not where you hope you are, not where you think you should be, but right where you are. Bill Burnett and Dave Evans, Designing Your Life. This feeling of not being enough paralyzes us to the point that we are not able to focus on one thing, not able to decide what we should start and master. Each area has those who are better and who make us feel inadequate. We look at a group of people, all being masters of different things, and we want to be better than them all. If only we were consistent at that one thing, but that would force us to stop watching other masters. Plus, how would being enough feel? Would we feel so uncomfortable that we would have to focus on the new master and have a new benchmark? What if we ceased feeling inadequate and stopped playing a victim? If we refocused our efforts on our own progress, we'd start thriving. To do that, we need to accept where we are and who we are and wholeheartedly know that we are enough. Dissatisfaction became a trend. We downplay our experiences and good becomes not that great or you never know. We consciously choose to focus on what we're missing, what doesn't work, and what we're striving for. We present our work, saying apologetically that we were not at our best. We feel that what we have is not finished and we're not ready to show it. This striving for perfection paralyzes us. The feeling of not being good enough prevents us from starting a business, transitioning into our creative career, and designing the life we want. We lack creative confidence and present our work and ourselves in this unattractive, apologetic way. Our potential clients move on to those who represent themselves in an appealing light, confident in their talent and loving products they created. We keep missing out on opportunities taken by those who show up with creative confidence. Stop what you are doing and let this sink in. You are enough. Being at zero. Being at zero, zero followers, zero income, zero fans, may feel very awkward and discouraging. We don't hear speakers on stage talking about being at zero. We hear about starting from scratch, but only in the context of the success that follows. No one dwells on the time when they were at zero. If we knew that we'd succeed, we'd gladly share our struggle while it was happening. But being unsure of our future, we prefer going through the zero stage alone. Because of how busy we get with our careers, side hustles, and such, we rarely spend time discovering unknown artists and their work. We tend to watch recommended movies and listen to popular songs, letting the votes, likes, and reviews decide how we spend our time. Popularity evolves into stardom, and unknown work with no commercial budget remains undiscovered. Because views attract views, how can we get visible being at zero? We can do so creatively, being equipped with a lot of patience. Here are five crucial things to remember in the process of becoming visible when we are at zero. 1. Many books will never be read, and projects will not become known because their authors and owners lacked patience being at zero and gave up too soon. Be patient. 2. Don't let frustration of being too long at zero impact quality you deliver. Provide great quality consistently. 3. Read between the lines of success stories and know that no one woke up like that. Accept the road to success no matter how windy. 4. Produce a lot of content, putting it out there for people to vote on, see, and share. Ship massive amounts of content instead of obsessing over refining a few pieces to perfection. 5. Don't create in solitude. Share ideas on your creative path and welcome feedback. The beginnings of following your dream path may be the hardest. Let this sink in, but also visualize where your efforts will lead you and trust the process. I knew John when he was starting his career as a hairdresser in NYC. However, I've never heard John introducing himself as a hairdresser. According to John, he was a celebrity stylist. John has positioned himself as a celebrity stylist since the beginning of his career and started living up to this new role by offering haircuts and styling services at fashion shows for free to build his portfolio. He then started strategically applying to cut hair at more prestigious shows and events, showing photos from all his previous jobs without mentioning that he wasn't paid for them. John kept cutting hair for free and showing his portfolio until he started getting paid. This is a simple and effective way to start almost any career you dream of. All you need is a lot of patience and courage to say you are the person you want to become. Confidence in manifesting who you want to become does magic. Accepting discomfort. Struggle, rejection, and other forms of discomfort are difficult to handle for all of us who are often too focused on the immediate rewards. We satiate our needs for immediate comfort, but it's a temporary distraction from our real goals. If we want to have the life we deserve, our dreams can't just be dreamt. They need to be lived. Yes, we won't see the immediate rewards for our work, and often we won't know if we'll see any at all. The risk and the hustle for the unknown may be very dissatisfying, but keeping in mind that we are racing toward the life we want will make it easier on us. Discomfort is a price of admission to a meaningful life. Susan David, Emotional Agility. We often have to start our creative careers at night after work and on weekends. We find ourselves thinking about doing it, but too often can't resist the temptations of brainless TV watching or meeting our friends who are always free after work because they settled for their jobs. Enticed by the stable comfort and routine of now, we're tempted to settle too and continue working toward the dreams of others. We know well that this is not what we want to do, but we can't resist the comfort of the boring familiar. We choose not to choose, and decide not to decide. If you are aware that that's not enough, and that you want to stop living your life by default, start designing your creative career. Get ready to accept the process fully, all its joys and discomforts, failures and rewards. Hold on tight and get ready for the bumpy ride toward your dreams. Creative Decisions. Barry Schwartz, in his best-selling book, The Paradox of Choice, states that the multitude of options available to us don't liberate us, but paralyze us. We're often very indecisive about the business idea we should choose, and once we narrow it down, we can't decide what strategy to focus our efforts on. We're undecided if we should develop our presence online or attend trade shows, get into wholesale or focus on partnerships with brands. We are stuck and overwhelmed by all the options available to us. The urge to do it all and fear of missing out paralyzes us to the point of not being able to do anything. Even if we manage to choose an option, we have spent so much time and effort on gathering information necessary for us to make a choice that we end up experiencing decision fatigue and our productivity suffers. Similarly, the multitude of social media channels affects our commitment of posting content regularly. We start writing blog posts and cultivating our Facebook presence, but the new social media channels, which show up constantly, tempt us to veer off the online marketing path we set and focus our efforts elsewhere. Not wanting to miss out, we try to be present on too many channels, and as a result, our consistency suffers. A study from New York University found that restricting the choice of creative inputs actually enhances creativity. It says that if we are liberated from pressure of choice and fear of missing out, we let ourselves be open to having a fresh start of a creative process. Treating making choices as an evolving process instead of a final decision may liberate us from the need of considering all available options. Any idea can flourish if properly executed, so if you have 2, 3, or 4 business ideas, the best option would be committing to one of them and devoting your efforts to it. Decision paralysis is one of the main reasons why many businesses don't start. To overcome it, free yourself from thinking in ultimate terms. Your business decision may not be the final one, but the best way to learn and find out is by making a choice and taking action. Grit is greater than talent. The emphasis used to be put on getting the right education and climbing the steps of the career ladder one by one. Hard work used to be the only way to get results and rewards. Nowadays, if you're a persistent beginner or a lucky one, you will skip the steps of the ladder. You may even skip the whole ladder overall. Your drive, hustle, and consistency can lift you up above those with an innate talent who wait, blame, and don't believe in themselves. It's not about the skills, but about the application thereof. It's as if we were living in the world where everyone has the same degree, and it was up to us to show the world our version of the diploma. Doing our best is not enough anymore. It got upgraded to doing our best with grit. We've always put talent on a pedestal, but it's actually its application that matters. Our perseverance and commitment to our goals is more important than our talent. Also, our passion for the business, which we can describe as infatuation and obsession, will not serve us if there's no consistency. Passion will not contribute to our success if it's not sustainable. If our excitement about a new project fades and we focus on another, often unrelated project, we will not advance in creating our dream lifestyle. We'll keep coasting through our lives, looking for immediate satisfaction, not focusing on designing our careers. Instead of starting to work toward designing the life we want to live, we make excuses that we are not talented or that we didn't go to school for it, so we have no formal education. All these excuses are the explanations we give to ourselves not to step out of our comfort zone and experience temporary discomfort of risk, unknown, possible failure, waste of time, and so on. We'd rather admit we're not talented and continue living dissatisfied in our status quo. Sometimes, pushed by the discomfort, we may decide to take the first step toward change, but not seeing immediate results and being used to the world based on quick fixes, we get too impatient to wait for the results, claim that we're not talented, and quit. Because talent is not something that can be measured, not having it can always be our excuse not to take action. Keeping our winning attitude is key to the successful execution of our goals. Consistency and grit matter more than passion and talent. Those who understand that transformation is a process and there's no way to shorten their path to greatness will get what they want, with or without the talent. Are you resilient enough? One of the hardest things that creatives and other business owners have to deal with is running our businesses when life gets in the way. Our personal life is never a straight line. When there's a bend and we are not able to see what's next, it can take a toll on our professional life if we let it. I know you may think that your story is different and that no one else has to deal with the death of a loved one, divorce, being single, getting married, moving, disease, having a child, or just feeling down in general. Guess what? We all do. We all get slowed down by life's roadblocks. But those who develop resilience and stubbornly go ahead, at times at a slower pace, will thrive. I'm not encouraging you to shake things off. This doesn't seem sustainable. Accepting our feelings and processing what we have to process is necessary. But it's important to realize that we need to run our business in parallel to dealing with life setbacks. There's no point in waiting for something to pass because there will always be something to deal with. I can confidently say that our reaction to failure and life's roadblocks will highly influence our success. Cultivating resilience is an individual process. It means we're not only strong after taking a beating, but we're showing up as a greater version of ourselves. Adam Grant and Sheryl Sandberg, in their collaborative work, Option B, present a thorough and courageous introspection of resilience. In 2015, Sheryl Sandberg lost her husband to a sudden death related to heart problems. Through studies, help, and a lot of self-growth work, Sandberg undertook a journey of resilience to show up stronger after the tragedy. In Option B, Grant and Sandberg make us aware that resilience is not something we have a fixed amount of, but something we have to build. Cultivating resilience is crucial during our humble beginnings as a creative. You may schedule your first yoga class as a teacher and no one will show up. You may set up your booth at a trade show and end up with no orders. What will influence how well your business does is your resilience, how strong you'll show up after the failures. A surfer gets washed out by the waves that cover him and make his body tumble in the ocean like in a washing machine. Does he go back to the shore? No, he resurfaces stronger and keeps surfing, ending up experiencing the euphoria of riding the perfect wave. Your path to your dream career may not have the tools you expected. There may not be people giving you tissues or hugs. It's for you to build a toolbox equipped with tools you'll develop and have at the ready. The tool of resilience will help you come back stronger after the waves of life crash on you. Stop apologizing for being awesome. When you ask someone what they do, they often sound apologetic. Their answer tends to be convoluted, either downplaying what they do or convincing that it matters. They're starting their introduction assuming they're inferior. They often describe what they do by making it sound easy, insignificant, and boring, rushing to move on and ask questions about their conversation partner's career. Once the talk shifts, they feel relieved. I'm sure I don't have to convince you that this is not an attitude that will help you live the life you want. Here are 5 tips to making a winning introduction. 1. Exude confidence. If you don't believe in yourself and in what you do, no one else will. Presenting yourself in an unattractive way may deprive you of opportunities. Most people are reluctant to associate themselves with someone who believes he's not worth their time. 2. What do you do? You won't sound confident if you hesitate or explain in circles what you do. Rest assured that this question will come up in your life often, so be ready for it. Prepare a short introduction that you'll be able to recite with no hesitation. This will make you sound believable, professional, and like someone who others would want to make professional introductions to. 3. Believe what you do matters. You have to be the first one who believes that what you do matters. Don't present yourself and what you do as insignificant, trying to appear modest. By doing so, your conversation partners may decide that you are not worth their time. 4. Have a few versions of your introduction. Depending on if you're at a cocktail party or at a conference, you may want to tell your story differently. Have a few variations prepared so that you can confidently share them depending on the situation. 5.